Welcome to the ministry of Pastors Clem and Marjorie Essomoway of Triumphant Church International Destiny Ministries, reaching out to thousands all over the world, clothing, feeding, impacting, and restoring lives to their full potential in Christ. You shall be mightily blessed, fired up, and empowered as you listen in Jesus' name. Visit our website at www.triumphant.org.uk. Email us at admin@triumphant.org.uk or write to us at 136 West Green Road, South Tottenham, Haringey, London, N15 5AD, or telephone us on 0208-800-6001.
I have a word for us this afternoon, a word that I believe will encourage us, a word that I believe will preserve us and hold us for a long time to come. Amen. I also shared with the first service that this word was born out of a testimony that Pastor shared with me on Tuesday. He traveled on Tuesday morning, flew on Tuesday morning, and when we got the flights, we were really very bothered about the flight that he got. And we were scolding Sister Karen, who got us the flight. How can you get us a flight that has just one suitcase going to Nigeria and it's just 20 kg? And we really complained, called Karen and complained. And eventually, thank you, we had to accept it anyway. We took it and Pastor flew. He was actually thinking of changing the flight. If it was something you could do without paying money, he probably would have done it. But eventually he traveled on that flight that Tuesday, and at 4 o'clock he called me. And from what I know about what we had on the flight, he was meant to arrive at 7. So I was kind of worried when they told me Pastor was on the line, but I didn't want to show it. I hid it and I said, okay, put him on the line. And when he spoke, I was like, okay, I'm going to ask questions, make sure he's really the one and all that. But by the time he spoke, I knew it was him. And I'm like, honey, what are you doing? Where are you? He said, I'm in Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau, doing what? And I was going to say, oh, no, not this flight again. And he said, oh, no, honey, don't worry, don't bother, don't complain that I'm going to tell you everything. And he now went on and said, you won't believe what happened. That they passed Nigeria, but they came here. He doesn't know why anyway, but he's not worried anymore. And that you won't believe what happened in the plane. And he said, honey, as I was about to enter the aircraft, I saw this man of God. And this guy has like 26,000 in his church. And he said, the man looked at him and said, I know you have seen your program before. And they got chatting because Pastor knows his name. And Pastor called his name and said, you are so and so. And they got talking. And they entered the plane. When they got on the plane, after a while, the guy came from his business class, or is it first class, and came and met Pastor and started talking to Pastor. Pastor said they were talking for 3 hours, standing, just talking about the kingdom, church, life, just talking. And when they finished, the guy has this conference that he does every year in his country in April. And he just invited Pastor Clem, I'd like you to come and be one of the speakers for that conference. Amen. And after Pastor shared that testimony with me, it got me thinking that as believers, many times we grumble. Many times we complain when things don't go the way we want. And I'm thinking, what if Pastor changed that flight? He wouldn't have met this man. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this happens every day to us. We go through circumstances that we don't even understand, and all we do is we're busy complaining. And this message I'm about to preach is born out of that testimony. The title for today's message is The Questions of God. do people ask questions? When we ask our children, we ask our friends, even in exams, why do we ask questions? Basically, we ask questions so as to provoke our thoughts, right? To get us to reflect about things. And we ask questions because we want answers. Amen. And we ask questions sometimes because we want to prove a point. Sometimes we ask questions basically out of curiosity. You are just curious. Amen. As many times we ask questions because we want to understand. We just want to understand some things. Amen. So why does God himself ask questions? Because he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's the Almighty God. So why will the Almighty God ask human beings questions? God does not ask us questions for his own purpose. If God ever asks a believer or a human being a question, he's asking for your own purpose. He's asking so that you can reflect on some issues. God is asking questions so that you can progress in life and mature in God. God asks questions sometimes to make us search his word and to enable us to believe his word. That's why he asks us questions. Why do we need to look at the questions of God? Why should I look at such a topic? We're looking at the questions of God because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 that some things happened in the Bible so that it can be for us as an example. And these things were written for us for our admonition and our warning. And so that's why God asks questions and writes it down so that we can look at the lives of those people who went through those experiences as an example. Amen. And as a warning. Glory. Hallelujah. We will quickly run to the first question that God ever asked in the Bible. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. I am really trusting the Lord to speak to our hearts and to put this word deep inside our lives. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? Say to your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, look into their eyes and say, neighbor, oh neighbor. Say it like you mean it. Neighbor, oh neighbor. Neighbor, where are you? Neighbor, where are you? Neighbor, oh neighbor, where are you? God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? Does it mean that God did not know where Adam was? Why would God ask Adam, Adam, where are you? Does that mean that God does not know where Adam was? Of course, we know that the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 37 that with God all things are possible. So God knows everybody. He knows where we are. He knows that you will be in church today. He knows the dress you were going to put on. He knew you before the foundation of time. He didn't just know you when you were born. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, God knew us even while before we were in our mother's womb. He knew you. You are not a surprise to God Almighty. He knows every situation you're going through. He knows the challenges you're facing today. He knows everything. Somebody say, God knows me. Luke 18, 27 says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. In other words, God knows everybody by name. If you put me down and say, well, you tell me your name today, I might remember it and I might not remember it tomorrow. But God remembers because he actually put that name in the heart of your parents. So he knows you. He knows everything. He knew where Adam was, basically. Let's read Psalm 139 verse 7. Because many times some of us act as if God does not know us. Sometimes we act as if he doesn't know where we are. He knows exactly where you're sitting. He knows exactly where the shoe is pinching you. He knows. He knows where the shoe hurts. You know, you can tell your friend, the shoe hurts me here, and they don't understand. But God Almighty knows where the shoe pinches. He knows what is in your heart right now as I speak. He knows the things that you have never told anyone. anybody. The things that just you alone know about yourself and your circumstances, God knows about it. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, going down to verse 12, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the earth, you are also there. If I rise up on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, down, down, even there your hand will guide me. I pray that God's hand will guide somebody that is listening to me this afternoon. May the Lord guide you to still waters. May the Lord guide you to still waters, to green pastures. May He guide you to the place of abundance in the name of Jesus. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me. He says, and the light will become night around me. He says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For God, darkness is as light to you. Lift up your hands and say, I'm so happy. God knows me. God knows where I am. He sees my predicament. He knows my challenges. He knows my issues. I cannot hide it from Him. So if God knows my lying down, He knows my uprising, if the darkness is even light to Him, why should God ask Adam, Adam, where are you? God asked Adam because He wanted Adam to think it for himself. He wanted Adam to make a reflection. You know, today, whether you like it or not, today is the 16th day of November. Beloved, it's almost December, and before you do this, it is January 2009. This is the time to begin to assess the year. Where are you? Where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your career? The things you told God you were going to do at the beginning of the year, where are you? Of course, there are some things that we said we would do. Out of circumstances, we couldn't do them. But I believe that many of the things we needed to do, which we didn't do, were as a result of us not taking the action. Where are you? In those goals, where are you? Many of us, at the beginning of 2008, I will start this training. Where are you? At the beginning of 2008, we said, I will win souls for God. I will read the whole Bible. Many of us sitting here must have said, I will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Where are you? Look at your brother's eyes. Look right into their eyes. Tell them, neighbor. Say it like you mean it. Where are you? Where are you? The things that you planned. Many said, this year, I will be a good husband. I will be a better husband, a loving husband. Where are you? This year, some women say, I will make sure I cook for my husband. I will make sure I look after him. I will make sure I do everything well. Where are you with the things you said you would do? Many of us wrote down resolutions. I will do A, B, C, and D. By the time it was March, we forgot. Because we never went back to look at the things we said we would do. We never went back to the promises that we made to God. God is not asking you, where are you? Because He doesn't know. He's asking you so that you can assess yourself. So that the next year will be better. Somebody say amen. Oh, I am trusting the Lord that somebody's 2009 will be more glorious than 2008. When God asked Adam, where are you? Verse 10 says, Adam said something. How did Adam reply? Adam replied, I am hiding. Where are you? I'm hiding. Of what relevance is that to the question, where are you? Just tell God where you are. You are hiding, but where are you hiding? God wants to know, where are you hiding? You know, a lot of us, rather than face the situation, We want to bend our head and pretend that nothing is happening. Because rather than face the situation, it's better for us to pretend that is, you know, there's no situation. He just digressed, expecting that, God, you should even know where I am. Why are you asking me? All God wanted to know from Adam was, how far are you away from where you are meant to be? You are meant to be here. I have gone into the garden where I placed you to take dominion, but I can't find you there. Where are you? Why did you leave the place of your commitment, the place of your destiny? Why did you leave it? When you know where you ought to be, it is a good place to start. Yes, I might not be where I ought to be, but at least I know where I'm supposed to be. Hello? If you don't know where you ought to be, it is a big problem. Many of us will need to enter our houses, enter our offices, and say, God, I know this is where I am now, but this is not where I ought to be. I am better than that. Somebody say amen. Because if you don't know where you ought to be, you will accept anything. Praise the Lord. It's good to know. Come December 26th, Boxing Day, when everyone is going out eating chicken rice, I don't go nowhere. December 26th, Boxing Day, I sit down in my house. I write my CV. Am I writing my CV because I'm looking for a job? Of course, you know I'm not looking for a job. I write my CV because I want to see what I have achieved in that year. And I want to see what next I want to achieve for the following year. Somebody say amen. It's a good place to start. At least to know this is where I'm going. I'm not there, but I'm going there. I said it in the morning to the sisters, the ladies. You are free to marry any man. Whether he is poor or rich, this has nothing to do with it. Because if he's poor and he has a vision, he will be rich. You are free to marry any man, whether he's tall or short, it's okay. The man you shouldn't touch is the one you ask, where are you going? And he can't tell you where he's going. You should tell me where you're going. In 5 years' time, this is where I want to be. You know, some women, when they want to marry, they are looking whether he's rich or poor, whether he has car. That has nothing to do with it. No. It doesn't matter whether he has car or not. If he has a vision, he will get there. Amen. Somebody say amen. Where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you? You said you will pray every day. Where are you? It's good to assess, you know. You can make that change even right here today. Where are you in your marriage? Where are you in your career and your life goals? You can redirect your steps back to where you ought to be. Do you have an idea of where you should be in 2009? Families now should begin to have family meetings. November, December. Sit down, pastor and myself, sit down. You will think we're in a board meeting. We're talking to ourselves. This is where we need to be. Pastor has now been calling me every day since he got that preaching engagement. Honey, how far have you gone with your